B-Pod Studios.
Boston's home for sports. The Sports Hub.
A little upsetting news before we get to Aaron Hernandez. Is she on the phone? Oh, this is not the upsetting news. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi. Happy birthday, Daddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Is Barnes really on TV?
What?
Is Barnes really on TV?
What? We're not following you.
Okay, very good. Zoe, who's your favorite person on Jersey Shore?
J-Wow.
Okay. Well, I love you very much, my dear.
Say it.
J-Wow.
He's such a prat.
You're making no sense.
All right. Happy birthday.
All right. Thank you. This was so charming and wonderful.
We love you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
By the way, troubling news out of the Loon.
Mm-hmm.
Inside sources saying Sarge talking smack. Uh-oh. I will not give the person away. But he said my Bob Wiley and DA impersonations are very close together.
They are.
Uh-oh.
I think admittedly they are.
Uh-oh.
Bob Wiley talks like this.
He's got a little more of a nasal.
Hey, look at me. I took a dump.
And then DA's like, yes, yeah.
Maybe they are a little bit different.
They're completely different.
They are a little bit different.
Yeah, they're completely different.
So, are they talking trash about you?
And Sarge walks around talking very negatively about me.
Which
I don't quite understand because I don't talk about him ever.
Oh, you do. Yeah, we do. We bust on him.
Well, today we did.
Well, today we celebrated him. I think that it's great that he got the Revolution game.
How often do we talk about Sarge except for playing his songs, which I love?
Twice a week.
You think that we bust on him twice a week?
Well, we talk about him twice a week. Am I wrong in that? Is that about right?
That's right. That's about right.
Once, twice a week. We talked about him today.
Yep.
Have we talked about him this week already? The answer is yes.
Well, I don't. Well, I can tell you this. In my personal life, I don't go out and insult him to people.
No. We like Sarge.
Well, I don't think I do. Mm. Why would I like someone who talks smack about Tia Rooney?
He talks smack about me, too.
He does?
Yeah, he was on the phone with us last time. He started ripping on me.
I always thought
it's like, yeah, Rich, you got to let you talk a lot. You don't back it up. Hey, John, welcome back.
No, before the surgery, he'd walk into a room and blow it up, too. I got the same problem.
But I always assumed that was sort of just him being bad at radio.
I mean,
trying to overcome the fact that he's a no talent. So what to go around?
Very nice. He got the Revolution gig. You have to have some sort of talent.
Good. They should fire him. And so here's the deal. They're just going to embarrass themselves with him being employed by them. But here's the deal. I don't go around in my personal life and start talking crap about Sarge.
No, we definitely don't do
What's
that.
What's worse, saying something on the radio or saying it in personal life?
That's a good question. You know, there's merits in both. Like, you say it on the air, and you're insulted in front of a bunch of different people.
Yeah,
I know,
but there's playing but there's radio. It's absolutely in person.
Absolutely in person. Because on the radio, you're attempting humor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a little, you can always spin it. Even if you meant it, you can always spin it a different way.
And by the way, my impressions suck. They're just my way of, except for Rome. But my impressions are just a caricature of the person that I'm talking about.
Sure.
But to go Wiley and DA on me, they're completely different voices. I guess he goes in there a lot and talks crap about me.
He goes to the Kowloon and does, well, Kowloon's his like comfortable place. That's almost like his therapist.
Yeah, but I don't go into Barmore and talk about him.
But everybody, I ask him about you. Nobody asks you about Sarge.
Oh, man.
I mean, sorry.
Oh, boy.
But
it was said on the radio and not in person, so.
In all honesty, off the air, am I considered a prick?
No. No.
Most times.
Rich is running this through his
head. You considered a prick. Anyone who knows you doesn't consider you a prick. I think there is a perception of people who don't know you that think you're a prick.
The Midday Show all love me. I know that for a fact.
As I said, anyone who knows you doesn't think you're a prick.
Maserati loves me. Jim Murray loves me. Felger's on his own planet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, where does Michael stand on all of this?
Bird's the one I give the most crap to, but I don't think Bird hates me. I know Nick doesn't hate me, and anyone who says he does is full of crap. I can't imagine that Dan hates me.
I guess the only way to settle this is to figure out who got a text from the Kowloon crew asking them to go to their party.
Raise your hand in the room. I did.
Jimmy Stewart does not.
There's one person with his hand on up. He's sitting to my right.
But Lockhart didn't either.
They think Lockhart's a prick. Surprisingly, I don't know why. Lockhart's the nicest guy in the world.
Well, I guess I was a prick to Lockhart when he first started years ago, but I don't think I have been in a long time.
That's true. I remember that story.
Yeah,
you got completely taken off guard by that.
Because I didn't know, and that's being a prick. But I will tell you.
I think we're all kind of considered pricks.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I know some
people. By people who don't know us.
No, but I think some people don't like. I know some people don't like Rich.
That's true.
But I don't. Adam Jones likes me. I don't get.
You're naming people who know you.
Right.
As I said, it's people who know you realize that, okay. Fred's
Joe Murray and Lifshads don't dislike me.
No. Nope.
I don't. What am I doing? What have I done to anybody here?
Nothing, as I said.
There's only one person in the world that I hate, and you tell me not to mention him anymore.
I just thought it wouldn't be a wise idea.
That's a smart move.
You're right, because we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been friends with you for how many years? Over 20.
So over 20 almost. Yeah. Yep.
And we work together every day, so we've had like arguments, but nothing bad.
That's how it goes when you work together for 20 years. And if we couldn't have those arguments if we weren't good friends.
I don't get what his deal is. I'm not pretending that I'm the greatest guy in the world. There's people that are parents of my children at school that think I'm the worst person on the planet.
That guy at the charity auction that builds birdhouses still doesn't like you.
Well, he's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked.
So weighing in on Twitter, people are saying, Fred, why did you leave out Beetle when mentioning who likes you?
I didn't. Beetle likes me.
Beetle does.
Beetle likes me. And I've had a conversation with him last week about how Beetle likes me.
He does. Is Fred forgetting when he undressed Sarge left and right on the air because he took the day off for a friend's funeral?
What?
Yeah. I mean, that did happen.
No, but once I found out it was a funeral, I stopped.
I believe that's the case, yes.
Okay, what, am I supposed to know he's at a funeral?
You didn't know he was at a funeral.
No, I swear to God, okay. I would not have ripped on him.
I remember the situation, but I don't remember the specifics of it.
What do you think? I would have ripped on him for his friend's funeral?
I think you might have. I mean, to be honest, now that I'm remembering, I think you might have.
Yeah, I think Rich is right about that.
Am I right? Did Fred know funny? Sarge was going to a friend's funeral?
It was funny, but you did rip on him for
really
his friend's funeral.
That's really the scale,
funeral.
Isn't it?
Okay, was it funny?
See, I don't remember.
My memory is of that. I remember what you're talking about. My memory is it was funny.
Okay.
But
well, if it's funny,
wildly inappropriate.
If it's funny, I'm not apologizing. Eric, go ahead.
So this is really very simple. Sarge is incredibly sensitive about the jokes that you guys make on the show. I honestly think that if you made a straight up, like, real criticism of him, he wouldn't care about it as much as he does all the joking. He hates it, and Fred is the sort of central comedy figure of the show. Therefore, that's why Fred is getting all the hate.
Yeah, I just don't get, like, why he's going out and, like, in telling people that I suck. Like on the radio.
Someone said Tuca hates Fred because he made fun of the Scorpions.
Well, Tuca does hate Fred.
Well, at least he won't be in points of battle.
The cat's out of
That's
the bag.
That's a good point. You don't have to worry about it this year.
The cat's out of the bag. Tuca Raz does not like me at all. Cam, go ahead. And I'm not making that up. Cam, go ahead.
What's going on, guys? Fred, I'm here to defend you. I've met Sarge a couple of times, and he's got a big head for someone who doesn't have a lot of talent. I listen to the radio a lot, but, I mean, you got to be a funny to be on the radio. You got to take jokes and give jokes. The guy just can't do it. He's got to get another profession. Sarge sucks.
Because Bertrand and I got into like a real argument, but we're still very friendly. Like that was uncomfortable for like a couple days.
And by the way,
it was over.
I'll give Sarge this. You can't say you can't take it. The dude got murdered for like how many months with Sarge Sucks Guy with John from Vegas. I mean, like national, nationally, he was calling into shows like Sean Hannity saying Sarge sucks.
He couldn't take. He was too dumb. He couldn't take it.
I think he took it pretty well.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, you know how it all started, Rich.
Yeah, I do remember.
He was a moron.
Yeah, he was.
That was July 4th week, right?
Yeah. Why don't you get on your mom's basement? Oh, well, that's gonna diffuse things, Sarge. Monty, go ahead.
Come on now, Fred. Heavy lies the crown, my friend. That's the problem.
I just don't get why he's going out talking S about me. I don't. Whatever. I don't care.
Who knows now? The guy from Kowloon, and that's it?
Well, if the guy from Kowloon knows, then that means that it's far more prevalent than that.
Fred, everybody doesn't think you're a prick. I mean,
well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stephen knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends.
Okay.
So why not have a dinner?
Okay.
So that's what that was.
Here's my point, is that I might be a prick, say if John just started on the show, and I was like, hey, you deaf bastard. he would be furious with me. But since we've known each other for so long, he knows I'm effing with him.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I'm not a prick, but I'm saying that there's got to be a prism in which you're looking through that
you can justify your feelings. I understand that.
Like off the air, I'm not like yelling at Sarge. I have a job
Bird,
to do.
Bird, do you think Fred's a prick? No.
I was a prick that day.
Huh?
I was a prick one day to you.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. I'm over that. Sarge needs to grow up and move on. Anyways, you're a ball buster. That's about it. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's okay. Part of the show.
Hey, wait. He was listening to the show, gentlemen.
I know.
I do like that.
He was listening to the show.
So it says, wait, how are we blowing past this Tuca and Fred story?
Yeah. I was only partly aware of that.
Tuca and I belong to the same country club, and he doesn't want me anywhere around him.
Really?
All right. Which is heartbreaking. But what do I do off the air? I'm being serious. Like, what do I do off the air that bothers anybody?
I mean, with us, nothing. But with Sarge, apparently,
do you think that I think, except for those great songs, do you think I think I spend one iota of time? You know how, what?
John from Vegas is chiming in.
On hold.
He said, after all the hullabaloo last year, Mark Bertrand couldn't have been nicer at Pucks and Paddles. He handled it with grace and class. Sarge just made it worse. So, so much worse.
Yeah, Sarge was so weird at Pucks and Paddles, I didn't know what was going on.
Like, and it just hit this weird, like, surreal, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
Like, I had no idea. I thought it was funny that John in Vegas hired a guy to play, and I knew he was going to say Sarge sucks, which I thought was funny. I thought it was all funny. And then Sarge got on the mic, and it made no sense. He was all drunk.
Wonderful listener Sarah just tweeted in with words that have never been spoken truer than this. There's a difference between being an a-hole and acting like an a-hole.
That's very deep.
It is.
All right. There's only one person in the world I hate. You can go to my Instagram and find out who it is.
And once again, people are reminding you that you're the Mr. Rogers of a-holes.
I don't like Mr. Rogers. I don't get it. But I never did. Not like I want him dead or anything, because he already is. All right.
Said like the Mr. Rogers of a-holes,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. I don't get it. I don't get why he's going out in his personal life and attacking me.
What about the time Fred unloaded on the new guy who touched the board, hashtag logged in?
Oh, yeah, probably. I don't know. Who cares? I don't even know who that is.
He knows who you are, Fred. He knows who you are. It's basically a villain origin story.
Exactly. He's probably going to kill me.
Tucker, that's right.
I'm the one who gets all the death threats.
Tucker? Oh, Nick's friend. Okay. A fine gentleman.
And the rest of us just get the shrapnel.
Yeah. you get quasi,
literally.
You get quasi death threats.
You literally get the shrapnel.
Yeah, my death threats are very personal. Rich gets like the shrapnel of death threats.
Your death threats name you personally.
Or call me on my
But
cell
then they
phone.
Name the show and say, I'm going to do this to the show.
Yes.
So I'm kind of like that.
Yeah. I get
Which, by the way, I would like to remind the fine people out there, death threats are illegal.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know that.
Yeah. You're not in a good space.
Thank you very much to the Cambridge Police Department. We appreciate all your help.
Thank you very much for the Newport Police Department. Yeah, stop calling my phone and saying you're going to kill me. All right, we'll be back. Rear Admiral from Barstool Sports, Spittin' Chicklets, going to be on with us.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Bruins get a skate on it, and they'll exit the puck. Now we've got a stop as Rask is down in the blue paint. 18:48 left here in the first, and we're scoreless. And Don Del Negro will start to jog on the ice.
He might have taken an elbow. Or a shot up high from Bemstrom. Bemstrom came through the crease area and caught him with a bit of an elbow up high. And Bruins now having a long conversation with Bemstrom going after him. They just realized it. He was behind the play. Nobody saw it. He was coming back through the crease. Hard to tell whether it was intentional or not, but Halak's going to have to come in. He's going to have to go get checked out.
I mean, we let the bed go for a while.
All right. I don't know how long the bed was on, but apparently
52 seconds.
That's on me. All right. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Spittin' Chicklets does very well. It's a Barstool Sports podcast. Rear Admiral has been with Barstool for a long time.
It is a damn shame it's been this long since we've had him back. How long has it been, Rear Admiral?
It's been a long time, and it's not no one's real fault. But I'll be honest, I just don't get up in the morning as much. I kind of sleep crazy hours, so I haven't been listening as much, so I hadn't really called in. But it's a pleasure. It's been way too long. Boys, thanks for having me back. The honor's all mine.
The one thing about you, a Rear Admiral, is that I'll wake up in the morning, and you know, and I'll be getting ready to go to work, and I'll be sitting on the can. It'll be like 3 in the morning, and you're up tweeting about movies that you're just about to start watching, like 3 in the morning. You're up all night, correct?
Yeah, I'm definitely a night owl because, like, thankfully, Spittin' Chicklets, thanks for the love there. It's gotten successful to the point where I was able to quit my crummy day job. So, you know, my hours are whatever I want them to be. So, yeah, I definitely stay up watching movies most nights pretty late. I just get up for work and I'm usually just going to bed. So that's why, again, that's why we haven't communicated probably for
all right,
a while.
But Spittin' Chicklets, next to Part of My Take, is the biggest podcast on Barstool, right?
I believe those two Hornball girls call her daddy. I think I think they might do better numbers than us, and they might even be better than Pod My Take. But yeah, I think we're in the top three in the Barstool Network, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's the congratulations. All right, a couple of questions in a row. People are taking liberties with the Bruins. Now, at first, I thought, well, hockey's evolved to a place where, you know, this is... This isn't something that is of great concern, but as time goes on and you see Rask getting hit and there's no retaliation, people are picking on Pasternak. Do you believe that they need to bring someone in, perhaps Trent Frederick, to kind of regulate things?
I mean, those days, listen, I've been watching hockey forever. I understand the days of the enforcer are gone, and I get it. You know, the whole stage fight thing was getting old, and when you hear about these guys with concussions and they're retiring, and you know, there was this, well, it was very small, but there was a spate of suicides a few years ago that really kind of pushed behind the movement. I get that all. But then when you watch a team and, you know, when the stars getting run and nobody does anything, but there's one thing, when your goalie gets hit like that, and again, whether it's intentional or not, you can't not do with anything.
Yep.
And, you know, like a couple people at the game tweeted that. He said, oh, the Bruins tried to do something, but the refs got in the way. Like, look, we saw a couple of nights ago with Zach Cassian on Edmonton. If you want to get at a guy, you can get at a guy.
Yeah, Cassian, that Cassian fight was
awesome.
Yeah, he was not happy. He would have killed the guy.
He just grabbed Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, and just wheeled on him because Tkachuk had hit him, you know, kind of, well, the first one was definitely dirty. The second one was probably borderline dirty. And he said, enough of this, man. I'm not taking it. And he just snapped. Now, yeah, he got suspended. He's going to lose some money, but sometimes you just got to do that and face the consequences. And That night, that game the other night with the Bruins was a game where I wanted someone on that team had to step up. And I know they sent Brent Ritchie down the following day. I don't know if it's because he's the second biggest guy on the team and maybe they thought he should have done something. But anybody, I mean, it doesn't matter what your role on the team is. The fact that the number one goalie gets concussed, and whether it was on by 100% accident, which it looked more like a Steve Urkel job. Did I do that? You know, like the way the guy went through the crease and kind of chicken wing just as he happened to go by. It looked like a real coincidence that's when he happened to hit him. But, you know, there's one player on the team that you have to defend at your goalie. So as a Bruins fan, yeah, it's been disgusting to watch, particularly, you know, when they kind of reestablished that big, bad Bruins hockey a few years ago. And especially the way they lost the Stanley Cup last year. I mean, they got bullied out of a Stanley Cup similar to the way they bullied the Canucks out of a Stanley Cup. So, and they've done nothing to address it. Now, I don't know if you want a roster spot and a guy who's in a fight, but they need somebody.
Okay.
There.
Let's talk about that. Trent Frederick is redefined who he is. He's a former first round pick, and he's fighting a lot in the NHL, or he's racking up a lot of penalty minutes. To you, I'm very unfamiliar with his skill level. I just know he fights.
Yeah, because that's where you see the highlights.
I'm very unfamiliar with his skill level. If you are the Bruins, is it worth, and based on what you know about him, is it worth bringing him up at least until the All-Star break to see if he can produce and kind of regulate things at this level?
I think absolutely. I mean, you know, they're always bringing up a guy or two here or there to see what they got. And this kid, I know the highlights been going around of him pummeling that 6'5 guy. I think it was back in October. Hey, man, absolutely. Bring him up. See what he can do. I know skill-wise, I know he's the kid they drafted. And then the front office said, oh, we projected him as a third liner. It was like, who takes a third liner in the first round? But everyone kind of scratched their head at the pick. But the kid, he's got some skill. He's not going to be, I don't think, a top-line center. But like you said, just for the toughness factor, just bring him up, let him defend the teammates. And there's never going to be a Bruin again who's like a Sean Thornton or a Lucic who, you know, is going to fight every four or five games. Those, like I said, those days are over. And you know, I'm okay with that as a lifelong hockey fan. I understand it. But you still need, you know, hockey is always going to be a game of toughness and intimidation, and you need guys on the team who could do that, and it shouldn't be your 42-year-old captain who has to answer the bell all the time.
All right, so a Rear Admiral, a couple of weeks ago, you had Jeremy Roenick on the show, and we love having Roenick on, and as you know, the guy's a great interview, but he said something that unfortunately got him into a little bit of trouble. He was talking about how he and his wife used to go on vacation with Catherine Tappan, and he made a joke about how he plays it off that all three of them are, you know, going to go hook up later on, and Catherine Tappan, you know, got upset by it. I always feel bad. Like, if someone comes on the show and they say something that gets them in trouble, I always feel kind of bad about it. Did Roenick reach out to you, or can you kind of take me through what ended up happening after all that happened?
Yeah, when that happened, and, you know, J.I.'s J.I., you know what I mean? Like, he's been on TV for years. He's been doing media for years. And when he started telling the story, and I got it, like, okay, you know, your friends the three is on vacation. And I think it was just the story that he probably shouldn't have shared. And even if you're in the interview, when he first mentioned Tappan, and, you know, he referred to it as like a smoke show or something like that. And I said right away, I'm like, careful, coworker, like, you know how the environment is today, especially in a corporate environment. You can't go around saying those things about your coworker. I mean, at least when you're working for NBC. And he just, I think he was just intent on getting that story out. And, you know, he wanted to tell that story. And it's like, you know, we can't save a guy from himself. No.
It's got nothing to do with you. My theory on that is that, and, you know, and a bunch of people are like, oh, it's PC culture and you can't say this thing, is that if Tappan, it feels like that's compromising her credibility,
and she definitely didn't like it. She released a statement afterwards.
F you. I mean, if not her, him. I mean, if you feel that you've a coworker has compromised your credibility, then she has every right to do it. And believe me, I'm far from PC, but that was my feeling on the thing. I don't know.
I think, and I don't know Catherine, and I didn't reach out to her. And I did reach out to JR though, and you know, he was like, hey, you know, it wasn't awkward with us. He didn't blame us or anything. He was like, hey, I love you guys. Like, you guys didn't do anything wrong. But what he did do is he did put Catherine, his friend, in a tough spot, because if she doesn't say anything, then, you know, she's a female journalist that a lot of young women look up to as a role model. If she says nothing, then she's sort of subtly condoning it. And now she kind of felt, I think she was kind of obligated to say some.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if NBC made her. I don't know the particulars there. But the bottom line is Jeremy Rowland did apologize. He did put her in a bad position. He seemed genuinely remorseful in his tweet video the other day that, you know, he felt bad that he, you know, he talked about coworkers like that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you should be fired.
No,
by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But I can see if it, I mean, if you pissed off your coworker, I mean, you gotta kind of talk that whole situation out. No, Ronick's too good. I don't think you should be fired.
And by the way, remember, I don't know if you talked about this, but he's still responsible for one of the best stories of all time, in that he actually found a Twitter troll and went to his home to confront him. Have you ever discussed that story with him?
You know what? I don't think we have, because, I mean, when you're doing the show for a while, there's so many stories that come across the, you know, that you hear about. I hadn't heard that one, honestly, in so long since you brought it up. But if we do have him on again, I'll certainly ask him about it.
Well, Jaffe is has been friends with him forever, because they're both, you know, the whole Chicago thing. And Ronick has the best life of anyone in the world. He pops in, he does like a hockey broadcast, and then he just plays in celebrity golf tournaments and drinks. like his life is pretty good. Where are you there?
A lot of these retired guys, and man, if they were smart with their money, I mean, you know, they obviously started making some good money in the last 25 years. A lot of these guys, they do get a great life if they were smart and if they made their money and weren't foolish about it and got married a bunch of times or whatever. But, yeah, a lot of them do have a good life. I mean, my co-host, Ryan Whitney, you know, he got that great contract with Pittsburgh. And, you know, he ended up a couple of years later, blew out his ankle and couldn't skate like he used to. He ended up finishing up in the KHL, but he was smart with his money. And, you know, I mean, he does chicklets because he loves it and wants it. But he certainly financially, he doesn't have to do it. He does it because he likes it. And he's got a pretty comfortable lifestyle himself. So, yeah, if you're smart where you go, it's a nice little retirement for a lot of these guys.
All right, what Bruins team do you believe in? Do you believe it's the team that's the way they're currently playing, or the team that was on fire at the beginning of the year?
I think the team at the beginning of the year. I think that right now it's, you know, you see kind of a lot of teams who started the year a house of fire are quiet and down right now. Something like Colorado, who I think they'll be a threat late in the playoffs, but right now they look bad. It's a long season. This is pretty much past the midpoint when teams are hitting the proverbial wall, and they just, you know, they just get slowed down, and things after, like, for 50 games, guys are a little banged up, slowing down. But I think it's also the same Bruins team that got to the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final last year, that they really don't need a lot of adjustments or real moves, although, again, they'd like to see some more balls in the lineup. But, yeah, I think they're definitely a team that's more indicative of more like than we saw earlier in the year than we're seeing right now, for sure.
All right. Rear Admiral, very successful Spittin' Chicklets podcast. Very good listen. And also, you can find him at BarstoolSports.com. Hey, thank you so much for the time, sir. It's been too long.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. You continue to do what you do, and I appreciate the kind words.
All right. See you, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's the thing about Rona, because I don't think you should be fired. But, I mean, if you're undermining to happen.
Yeah.
But in fairness, I like her a lot.
Yeah, I do.
But,
she's
great. But, like, if she's like, all right, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what are you doing?
What are we doing?
Like,
seriously.
Like, okay. Like, if, and I have a feeling if Ronick said it to her, like, if they were just, like, having dinner and said it to her, she
right.
didn't care.
Oh, of course. And, right. they, you know, he's probably joked about that before, but, you know, as you said.
Said it to the masses, it's a little different.
And it's and here I go, oh, Fred, you're a pussy. But I would say that, like, if I'm a woman who's got into that point in my career, like, is that, do I want my coworker saying that he wants to bang me?
Right.
Right. It is kind of like,
I just like, because how many times you've had that moment where you got somebody, you're doing an interview with somebody, and you're like, this guy needs, he's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
This guy's going to say something that is going
Well, it's not their fault.
No, I mean, no.
Let him talk his way. I mean, you're going to get some breaths, but I just, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be like, oh, Fred's a pussy, PC. But I just think that if, you know, if you've worked that hard to do something and then someone says, oh, yeah, I'd love to bang her.
Takes a little bit of the integrity away from
them. You're kind of like, come on, dude. Right. leave it alone a little bit. All right, Aaron Hernandez had a documentary we'll talk about in just a minute.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
98.5 to Sports Hub. I have ample time to tell you to call in to 617-931-0985. And you have an opportunity to get Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts live at Fenway Park on August 26th. There's been a second show added. Tickets on sale today at 10 a.m. Visit RedSox.com. We'll start with caller number 5. What's going to happen is when Rich gets back here, he will transcribe Vince Neil singing a song. Vince Neil unable to sing. And you will have to guess the song. I am so far 3 for 3.
I'm amazed.
With these songs.
Now, I am amazed.
I desperately want to go to this show, and I will. I have no desire to see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, which really pissed Adam 12 off.
I know. I actually got caught in the crossfire of that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she produced the Germs album. I get it.
In all honesty, Fred, could you sit through 4 bands in one venue like on the same night?
No. I sat through 3 last year. It was Cheap Trick, Def Leppard, and Journey all in a row.
See, I would love to see Cheap Trick. Def Leppard are like too good.
Yeah, that was the thing. Cheap Trick was good. They played like the heart of their catalog all in a row. They played some songs you didn't care about, but then they had like 5 or 6 songs in a row. You're like, wow.
Because their set had to be little bit quicker. Yeah.
It was. It was like 45 minutes. And then Def Leppard went on there for an hour and a half, and they were great. And then Journey went on for an hour and a half, and they were horrible.
Yeah, I don't like Journey. But, okay, so my plan is to avoid Joan Jett, then to watch Poison, because I find Bret Michaels to be one of the funnier people in music, and the fact that now he's gone, like, all out America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's his strategy now, is, like, he's like Captain America.
Is Hacksaw Jim Duggan? He's, like, waving the flag?
Yeah, and then...
He's not even Captain America. It's like, you know, I heard we're here to have a party, and Boston is a party town, and there's no bigger town that knows how to party. Every time I come to Boston, it's the biggest party I've ever been to. Thank you for inviting us into your home. Go Red Sox! The other day I was hanging out with Devin Youkilis, and I'll tell you what, America, baby.
Is that the one where you're in a different town, and someone has to tape up the city a sports star so you can carry it out there with them?
Brett's
a pro.
He is a pro, and he's a pro cheese bag. But, man, he'll get up there. And all I know is that it looks like all you guys want to have nothing but a good time. Let's do this.
I don't think like Brett's going up there like Johnny Cash.
No.
Okay, and then what I plan to do is avoid Def Leppard because, again, they're too good.
They're great.
You don't want it to, you want to keep your palate cleansed. I saw
Def Leppard on the Pyromania tour, and I'm not bragging, but I did see them on the Pyromania tour. I'm a big Def Leppard fan, but I don't care. And then, baby, when Motley Crue takes the stage, I will say it again. I will be enraptured, and I will be focusing on one individual, and that is Vince Neil, who can't sing.
Nope.
He can't eat.
Nope.
No, he can eat. He can drink. He killed a guy in a drunk driving accident and just said, let's keep this ball rolling. All right. So, Rich, let's start.
So what I've done is, from their final tour, the Going Away tour, I have transcribed what Vince Neil is actually saying on stage, and you have to tell me what song Motley Crue is performing at that time.
All right. And if we don't get a winner, then we're going to have 3 pairs of tickets to give away.
Yep, and these are hits. These are hits.
Yeah, no backhand.
You're not getting Bastard from, I think that's track 2 off of House of Pain.
Okay. House of Pain?
Yep.
I thought that was just Faster Pussycat. All right, here we go.
Theater of Pain, not House of Pain. What am I doing? Theater of Pain.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Here is Rich. He has transcribed the lyrics. Tim, you are on the phone.
Okay.
Here we go.
I know a chair, coocha bee, kick a rover, eat poi.
Well, you said eat poi, which means I think it's too young to fall in love.
Because of the video, he gets very angry that they gave him rice.
Yes.
Very angry. That's right, like Nikki Sixx,
right,
I think.
I need you to repeat it for me.
All right. I know a chair, coocha bee, I kick a rover, eat poi.
I know a chair used to be, I kick a rover, eat poi.
I kick a rover, eat pie. That's how he delivers it.
I see.
Okay.
Fred was just bragging about being perfect before we started.
This is not the chorus.
This is not the chorus.
Girls, girls, girls.
Let's take a listen.
You might be the better man, Tim, because I don't think I knew that. All right, here we go. Oh, my God, does that suck. Wow. Tim, you are brilliant.
Wow, we got a real fan going.
Tim, you outdid me. I thought I was getting them all right. Boy, Vince really effed that thing up.
And that song's a vacation song. And what I mean by that is that it's a you sing it classic.
Yes.
Like, girls, girls,
well, he doesn't
girls,
have to say girls, 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 girls. Yeah.
Basically not, except for that part. I tell you what, girl, dance for me. I keep you overemployed.
Oh, that's what he's saying there?
Oh, yeah. Except he's right.
All right, Tim, congratulations. You won the tickets. All right. Let me hear this again.
And he doesn't even sing that part.
You know the one I mean?
The one I mean. He couldn't even get those words out.
Ew.
You sing it.
Oh, God, is it going to be great? I might have to bring, like, Kleenex. Because I'm going to be like...
I just love...
That girl's girl's girls. I'm playing it one more time. You're right. That's a vacation song. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yes.
By the way, I mean, the riff on that is just a million-dollar riff.
Oh, girls, girls, girls is a great riff.
No, but at that point.
I see, I always thought the riff in that song was great.
Well, it falls apart a little during the bridge.
Maybe it does. I mean, he just
Why would the audience go, you know the one I mean?
Right, that's not even a... That's not singing girls, girls, girls.
Yeah, it's not the chorus. It's right. Like, you know the one... Because he forgot.
Yeah, you're probably right. Come on, give me a clue here. You know?
I am going to have my eyes glued on that band. And by the way, I'm not dissing Def Leppard. I saw them at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they were great. I mean, they... Everything was on the one. Everything was great, but I have no interest.
You're going to hear that opening riff of "Women," and you're going to go, "All right." Women. Which the lyrics are the best for that.
That
song.
That was the first single off of "Hysteria."
I know. It was pretty embarrassing. The lyrics
Lots
are really
of
bad.
Pretty women.
When he goes, guitar, drums, ladies. So he's calling on the ladies at that point.
Right.
We're going to fly. That's Rocket, actually.
So is it, it's so, all right. Rocket's so there's like 8 hits on that record.
Oh, yeah.
They go, let's just push "Women" out there.
Oh, "Women" was, oh, my gosh.
Because I remember how much, I remember where I was. We were at our friend's house in Pittsburgh when that video came out, because it came out before "Hysteria," obviously.
Yeah.
And I went, this sucks.
The music's great, but the lyrics are awful. Like the music of that
but
song,
that chorus,
is excellent.
That chorus is just women,
women, women,
lots
of pretty women.
That's a horrible chorus.
Does he go, man? I can't live without them. Skin on skin,
let
love begin. We're having sex.
At least they wrote lyrics to that one. Unlike "Pour Some Sugar on Me," which was just
words.
Have you ever seen like something about the making of "Hysteria" and they talk about writing "Pour Some Sugar on Me" and that it was just words? Like they took no, like it means literally nothing.
See, I like that better than them trying to think it was like "Imagine" or something.
Yeah, right. No, I just think it's funny that you go to the studio and you're like, all right, we got, obviously this is a hit, but we're going to put zero thought into making any sense with the chorus. All right, Danny Ainge is going to join us in a minute.
Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.